Praise God. You can praise Him. He's the one who made us. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. No means of measure can define His limitless love, and no far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. You can praise Him. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. He is enduring strong, and He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast, and He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful, and He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. You can praise Him. He does not have to call for help, and you can't confuse Him. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. He stands alone in the solitude of Himself. He's August, and He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem of higher criticism. He's the foundational doctrine of all true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of a spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good, and you can call on Him. Praise His name. He can supply all your needs, and He can do it simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tired. And the tried. He sympathizes and He sees. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. Thank you, Lord. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. You can praise Him. Hallelujah. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the highway of holiness. And He's the gateway to glory. You can praise Him. Hallelujah. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. You can praise Him. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. He reigns in righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's indescribable because He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible because He's invincible. You can't get Him off your hands. You can't get Him off your mind. That's true because he whose mind is stayed on Him, he'll have peace. Amen. You cannot live Him and you can't live without Him. Pilate couldn't stand it when he found out he couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him when witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him, and death couldn't handle Him. And thank God the grave couldn't hold Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. There is nobody before Him, and there will be nobody after Him. He has no predecessor. He'll have no successor. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. Amen. Praise God. I just found this, and I had to share it. Kind of hard words there. Some of you make you almost lose your dentures, but... He's so worthy. He is so worthy. I want to ask, we had prayer before the service, but I want to ask prayer for Pastor and Sister Lanise before they preach. Yes. Roxanne? Oh my. Okay. Well, Lord, we just come to You right now. We thank You, God, that we can come together and God and make our requests known to You, God, and that You hear us. We thank You, Lord, that You are the healer. That You are able to heal. We thank You, God, for Roxanne. We thank You for her life and her obedience. We pray that You touch her right now in her body in Jesus' name. Touch our body as far as Pastor Bill and Sister Lanice. They're all part of us, God, and we pray that, Lord, you'd heal them and help them, God, to bring forth the message today in spirit and in truth. And we'll give you the glory. And we thank you, God, for living words. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. The topic today I'm going to speak about is keeping a balanced self-image. And the title of it is Don't Get Caught Off Balance. I was going to talk about memorials, but God said this last week, I was studying it and I was like on page 6, and he said, don't do on memorials. If they're going to remember me. I said, okay. You know, we're people, we forget things, but we're never going to forget God, because he calls us to always, he puts his laws in our hearts. And so we're not going to forget God. He just said, you know, altars are fine, memorials and things, and it's good to remember those that have come before us and given their lives, but the main one, our Lord and Savior, has given his life and went before us, and that's the reason we have freedom in life at all. Praise God. But anyway, we're talking about getting caught off balance and keeping a balanced self-image. A long time ago, I took a little judo class. I'm just showing this as an example. In judo, all I learned, I only did it for like 3 weeks. And all I learned was how to fall. So I never did learn anything else. But they had a lot of mats, you know. Yeah, I did get back up. But they had a lot of mats. I did get hurt at the end. I hurt my ankle, so I couldn't do it for a long time. Then I just lost interest. But all you do is you learn to fall. And in judo, they taught us how to use balance to get your opponent down. And what you do is you use the weight of the person you're fighting, use his own strength against himself. And see, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get us caught off balance. And you know how you heard that saying, the bigger they go, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. Well, in judo, it's really true. We had some big guys, and they would come at you to make a move, and you would just keep that force going, and you'd be able to knock them down. You know, put your leg out and just bring them in their own force. And you didn't have to have the force yourself coming against it. And sometimes if we get off balance with things in our life, the devil can use the strengths that we have and use them against us because we get off balance. Amen? We got to be careful. Let's go to Proverbs 23:7, please. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I had all these marked and then I... Here we go. Proverbs 23:7. Now this is the NIV version. For he is the kind of man who always thinks about the cost. Now you say, what's that got to do about balance? Well, the New King James says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. His mind is off balance, basically. Notice it keeps saying heart, not mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm not sure what version has that, as he thinks in his heart. I think it's the New King James. Yeah, so as a man thinks in his heart, wait a minute, don't we think with our mind? Well, pastor's already told us that we have things in our heart that are also found in our mind that we actually think in our heart. And so, so what have you taken to heart? You know, those things that you have not taken captive and you put in your heart. You know, those precious God-given revelations or those pure thoughts, those are the things you want to bring into your heart. Because it's easy to change your mind, but it's hard to change your heart. The verse we just read in Proverbs 23:7 is about a man who is providing a meal for a feast, at a feast. But his heart is on the cost of the feast, not on the feast itself. His motives are wrong because he is thinking about how this relates to him and his agenda and his selfishness and pride. Whatever takes your thoughts, whatever your mind and soul, heart is always concentrating on or concerned with, makes up who you are. And you have to be careful because with that, you can sometimes get off balance. So let's go to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 34. This is David praying for a right heart. Amen. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. So David prayed for a right heart, and we need to always pray that. The man in Proverbs 23:7 is off balance because of self-centeredness. You know, I had this thing I made. It was just a perfect circle. I had two of them. And I put God right in the center, and I ran an axle from one to the other, and it rolled nice and smooth. And then I made another one that had God. It wasn't in the center. It was a little off, you know, and it had himself in the center, and God was like a little bit out here. And then I connected the axle, and the ride was like, it was like really way off. So unless we put God in the center of our life, we're not going to be balanced. We're going to have a very rough life. But if we keep it God-centered and let the axle of our life turn on Him, then we're going to have an easier, you know, aren't you tired of the roller coaster ride of emotions and up and down? You know, there's people with bipolar disorders that they're real highs and real low lows and real high highs. And God wants us on an even more balanced keel. Amen. Thank you, God, that He does that for us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, let's go there. 2 Timothy 1:7. We're going to talk about how to keep balance. 2 Timothy. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. All right. Our self-discipline helps us to be able to maintain control, to maintain a balanced life, because He gives us the ability to see where we're off balance, to get our priorities set right. And so self-control is another word for balance, basically, because without self-control, we definitely get off balance. Amen? It's important to fill our minds with the words of God and guard our ears and eyes to what we take in. Amen? There's so much distortion, lots of confusion in this world, many distractions in this world. So we need to be careful. We can overcome the evil in our world, even if our environment isn't the best environment, even if we're in an evil environment, because we have the Spirit of God to help us, and we have the Word of God to guide us. Amen? The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so He guides us one step at a time. He says it's a light unto my feet, not a light unto far away. So I thank God that His Word guides us. You know that one movie, I forget what it was a comedy, but it was talking about baby steps. Well, in our faith, we need to walk those baby steps one step at a time in the Lord. Amen? Okay, now let's go to Philippians 4:5. NIV. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Isn't it interesting that they say the Lord is near right afterward? And it talks about gentleness. Well, we don't want to hear gentleness, but see, there's another translation in another Bible. I believe it's it says the word moderation. Let your moderation be evident to all. The Lord is near. So let them see that the Lord has given you the wisdom to do things at the appropriate time, and also patience. I tell you, by patience possess ye your souls. Amen. And so the word moderation there can be replaced the word gentleness. There's a quote from Thomas Fuller. Moderation is a silk string running through the pearl chain of all virtues. So that's what kind of holds all the things together, is our balance. When we're off balance and we tend to favor something too much in one way, the devil will use that against us. And I've had that happen to me in my life. But we need to just concentrate on Him. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12:3. It's another good scripture. Romans 12:3. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So again, balancing of how we think about ourselves. And now let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. You know, if we open the door to Satan, he will come in. Amen. And we can't do that. 1 Peter 5:8. All right. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, I never saw that first part of this passage. I always remember this. 1 Peter 5:8 is, you know, the devil goes around like a lion, to see who he can destroy. I never saw this first part of it. Be self-controlled and alert is it part of that scripture. And to be self-controlled is to have that balance that we need, amen, in a right image. I want to share some thoughts that will help you stay balanced in one particular area of your life, your self-image. This is basically just now what I want to concentrate on. We need balance in a lot of things in our life, and which I will go over some of those, but we mainly need balance in our self-image. You know, God, we are made in the image of God, amen? And we need to be aware that our Heavenly Father is so much more loving than our earthly father. I have learned to love my dad even though he had faults, because the Bible says to honor your mother and father, but I was angry for a long time about my dad. He didn't have control over alcohol, but he never found the Lord to get free, set free from it. But I forgot my train of thought now. Of course, huh? Yeah, I need to stay balanced in what I'm doing here. But self-image is such a fundamental issue. You know, it's a foundational issue. How we think of ourselves, but we have to think and know that we're made in the image of God and that we are to be like Him. Even when Adam and Eve was in the garden, the devil said, "You eat of this tree. Go ahead and eat of this tree. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, see, we'll know good and evil, so like God, we know about good and evil. But we're never going to be like God. We might have His attributes, and that's what we strive for, is to be have attributes like God. It says in the end, when we see Him, at the end, which is really the beginning, when He comes, we're going to see Him as He is. Amen? So, and when it says we'll be like Him, it doesn't mean we're going to be even with Him. It just means we'll have His attributes. And so I thank God that we are being more and more like Christ as we let our love shine in this world and as we love others and not judge and not condemn. It says, judge not lest ye be judged. Condemn not lest ye be condemned. And so, and what measure you give to others is what measure God will get back to you. So I'm learning to just, it's all about love. That's what it's all about. This is one big love letter right here, this Bible. And I'm learning that. People will tell you it's cruel and it's bloody, this Bible and everything, but God's wrath is cruel. But you know what? If you get God's wrath, you're going to deserve it. You know? And that's true. That's true. That is so true. And when I use the word balance, you know, I mean maintaining control and maintaining focus. Focus is so important. In order to develop a balanced, healthy, God-centered self-image, incorporate these 12 thoughts that I'm going to list into the way you think about yourself. It's important how you think about yourself. Raina taught on pride. It was excellent talk, and we've heard it more than once. But there's another side of the pendulum on pride. You can be prideful and think you're hot stuff and all that, but if you also think that poor, poor, pitiful me, nobody hates me, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. You know, if you have that attitude that you're nothing, that's self-centeredness. That is pride. There's a pride on the low end. There's a pride on the high end. And again, we need the balance. Amen? Yes, yes. False humility. That's humility. That's exactly right. So, I know, here's the first thought to help you with your self-image. I know God created me and He loves me. Amen. Psalm 139:14. Let's go ahead and go there. We got time today. We always have time for the Word. Amen. You want to hear the Word, not me anyway. Psalm 139:14 tells us a wonderful thing. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. Amen. So we are, you know, wonderfully and perfectly made. We're not, there's no monkeys in our family tree, amen. We were created. We were not revolved from any kind of, evolved, I mean, from any kind of animal. Amen. So let's go to Deuteronomy 7:8. This is the other part of this saying. I know God created me and He loves me. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7, the Torah, part of the first five books of the Bible for you that are listening on CD. And it's the standard of how to live this life. Hallelujah. And we need to get back to it and honor it. Amen. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8. This is so good. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers, and He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Hallelujah. So the Lord, you know, it was because He loved us. And so here He's created us, and He's loved us, and He tells us He's going to keep His oath that He swore to us, and He's going to bring us out with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Here's a second thought to keep in. I have faults and weaknesses, but I want to change. I believe God is working in my life. He is changing me bit by bit, day by day. While He's working on me, I can still enjoy my life and myself. Amen. You know, God showed me when I was thinking about the Torah and everything, and I thought, man, don't even know it that well yet. And I read these books, you know, but I was thinking, I don't know if I can do all this stuff and everything. But God said to me, you know, if you walk it out, I can work it out. Amen. And that's backed up, too, in the Word. So there's scripture that would kind of support that. Let's go to Galatians 6:9. I think this is one of them. Galatians 6:9. I know one of them is wisdom proves right by her actions. So, just walking it out, as you walk it out, as you go in obedience to God, He will teach you as you go along. Hallelujah. He is so patient. Thank God. You know, a new child that is born, a mother is so patient with her child. And that's the way God is with us when we're first walking, you know. Babies have to learn how to walk and they have to learn how to stand. Amen. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. So here again is actions. That's actually doing. Be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Amen. Okay. Everyone has faults. This is number three. Everyone has faults, so I'm not a failure just because I'm not perfect. Philippians 3:12-14 says, not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Amen. So this here tells you right here that God works it out as you, if you walk it out, God will work it out. Amen. Here's another thought to keep in mind. I'm going to work with God to overcome my weaknesses, but I'll realize I will always have something to deal with. Therefore, I will not become discouraged when God disciplines me in the areas of my life that need improvement. Amen. Psalm 94:12. Let's go there. Psalm 94:12. Psalm 94. I love the Psalms. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. When it says teach from your law, it's talking about the Torah. It's talking about the standard for living. The first five books tell us. Line it all up. Amen. Okay, let's go to Job 5:17. Job is just before Psalms. Job 5:17. Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise and do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Amen. You know, a wise person will take correction. Will be able to take information on how to do something better and not get angry about it. Amen. Because, you know, the Bible says God disciplines the ones that He loves. The next thought is, I want to make people happy and have them like me, but my sense of worth is not dependent upon what others think of me. We have to remember that. Jesus has already affirmed my value by His willingness to die for me. Amen? John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I thank God for John 3:16. Isaiah 53:4-6. Isaiah 53:4-6 tells about God's going to the cross, and He took our infirmities and everything. I'm not turning there, but remember Isaiah 53:4-6. Here's another thought. I will not be controlled by what other people think, say, or do. Even if they totally reject me, I will survive. Amen. God has promised never to reject or condemn me as long as I keep believing. You know, I think about Noah. When we had that song where it had Noah's Ark sitting up there all by itself, I was thinking, you know, when God's wrath, when the water receded, God placed Noah high. Noah didn't ask to be put high. He found himself high because he humbled himself. He was obedient to God. God told him what to do, and he obeyed. And so he found himself on top of the mountain, when he didn't plan it that way. He just, you know, and he, look at all the stuff he went through, you know, about being totally rejected. You know, what other people think. Can you imagine the ridicule he went through? Yet he stayed obedient. Okay, John 6:29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one who He has sent. You know, it talks about the Antichrist spirit is someone who doesn't believe that Christ came in the flesh. And the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. To believe in Jesus. Here's another thought to keep our self-image in balance. No matter how often I fail, I will not give up because God is with me to strengthen and sustain me. He has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. That's found in Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Number 8 is a thought. I like myself. I do not like everything I do, and I want to change, but I refuse to reject myself. Again, just think back on Psalm 139, that we're wonderfully and perfectly made. There are times that we just really hate ourselves, at least me. I don't know about y'all, but there's times I just don't like myself. But I have to remember these things to keep me in balance, that I'm not, and not just run from God, but remember those things that keeps me in balance. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we're in Christ Jesus, we're not condemned. And you know, there's people that think so low of themselves and want to reject themselves that they even think of suicide. But the Lord showed me, you know, I saw her in an obituary, I knew someone who had committed suicide. Of course, it didn't say that in the obituary, but The Lord told me, well, he's manifesting the enemy's ministry. The steal, kill, and destroy. And he destroyed. He killed himself and destroyed his life. And so he's manifesting those things of the devil. And so, you know, we have to always remember that God made us and that there's such a wonderful future for us that know the Lord. Amen. Number 9, I am right with God through Jesus Christ. That same scripture I just read, Romans 8:1, and also 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we are right with God through him, through Jesus Christ. Amen? Here's another thought. God has a good plan for my life. I'm going to fulfill my destiny and be all I can be for his glory. I have God-given gifts and talents, and I intend to use them to help others. You all remember Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody recite it by heart? It starts out, I know plans. Yeah. And give you a hope and a future. God gives us a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you. Amen? And not to harm you is in there. Plans to give you hope and a future. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift. It's 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Here's another thought in number 11. I'm nothing, and yet I am everything. I myself am nothing, and yet in Jesus, I'm everything I need to be. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:10. So we're already in 2 Corinthians 5, so to go to 6:10 won't take us long. We better start up a little higher. Well, it talks about Paul's hardships, okay? He said in verse 10, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Amen. 2 Peter 1:3. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Amen. Here's another, the last thought, number 12. I can do everything God calls me to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. I can do everything God calls me to through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4:13. And we love this scripture. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. God enables us. He gives us strength. Those 12 thoughts, you know, will help you keep a balance in your life. Those scriptures that I gave you. There are other areas that need balance besides our self-image. We need balance in our work. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 23:4. Proverbs 23:4. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint or have balance. And you know, 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 is another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. You know, I always admire people that work jobs that they use their hands, like hair, people that do hair, people that, you know, that are craftsmen that can do work. Anybody that works honestly with their hands, you know, I just admire that. Just as we told you, work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So it's important to work, and yet we can't work so much that we forget God. But it gives us a rest, amen? And we know what that is, the Sabbath, what we're enjoying today, the rest of God. We enter that rest every Sabbath when we come to worship. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. Again, we're in the Torah. By the seventh day, God had finished the work and he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So we have balance in our work by entering the rest of the Sabbath. Amen. We need balanced diet. Of course, I need to hear that. We have to watch what we take into our bodies, you know. Nope. And pork is not good for us. The world finally figured that out, but the Bible told us in the Torah many, many way before. And we need balance in the things that we do as far as what we drink. You know, the Proverbs 20, verse 1, this is one I should have heard when I was younger. It says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, and he who is led astray by them is not wise. I was led astray. I was led off balance by alcohol. But God delivered me from that. I thank God for that. So it's kind of a spiritual thing, you know, what we take into our bodies and our, as far as food, you know, it's good in, good out, bad in, bad out. I mean, it's important. Everything correlates with God shows us in His Word. And then we need balance in our spending, amen? When you have too much month at the end of your money instead of too much money at the end of your month, that's what happens when you don't have a balanced budget. But we talk about a balanced budget. You know, hopefully it will be a better balanced budget than in our personal lives than it is for the government way of balancing the budget. Amen? There's these magical numbers that don't really exist. But we need to have a balanced budget. You know, Brother Stone was telling us how to be prepared for the coming of the Lord and for the persecution that's going to start. It's going to intensify. And lines are being drawn. And I'm telling you, there's more of a wider gap now between those that love God and those that don't. And if you're in the middle, you know, the devil owns that. So the devil owns the fence. Amen. You simply never need to spend more than you earn. But we forget that. I like that one quote. It says, those who go a-borrowing, go a-sorrowing. And I'm guilty. I still have bills. I'm praying that we can get out of debt soon. But if you are always thinking about money, that's where your treasure is. And that's unbalanced because money is fleeting. Amen? Because where your heart is, Matthew 6:21, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our treasure is in God, and so that's where our heart is. That's why we're hungry hearts. Amen? We need balance in our social life. Let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. We need to have a social life, you know, and people say, get a life. Well, you get a life when you receive the Lord. But we have to have a life outside of our, you know, our body of Christ in order to be an influence. But we have to have balance. You know, Proverbs 18:1, let's turn there. It shows you the difference. Okay, it says to be hospitable in one verse, and then it tells you to entertain strangers, because you never know. It might be an angel. And I know that is, I've heard of testimonies of people having someone in their lives, and then they find out, and all of a sudden they're gone. And they found out that person really, they couldn't find him anywhere. And they really believed that it was an angel that came in and did something wonderful for him and just There are angels among us. I believe that. So Proverbs 18:1. An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. So an unfriendly man, you know, the Bible says you have, in order to have friends, in order to show yourself friendly. The man that wants to be alone all the time really is selfish. He has selfish ends because we need to be sociable and we need to include others in our life because God touched people and He didn't hide from people. He did go out to be alone after He ministered, which we need to do to get refilled. I love to see all those pastors at the conference because they need to be in, continue to be filled so that they can come and give us some refreshing new word. And I thank God for that. God continually refreshes us. Amen. We need to be hospitable when appropriate, but we also need solitude in order to be still and know that He's God. Although we want to please people, we have their and have their approval, we must put God and His will first in our lives. Even more than our husbands or our wives or even our children. More than money, more than... You know, Gene and I, we have issues. Everybody has issues with their families. But me and Gene, we were getting into it this morning. The devil just wants to come and invade our Sabbath rest, wants to take things and get us to arguing and things. And we realized it, and we stopped and we prayed. And our demeanor and our feelings just totally changed. We said, wait a minute, this has got to be the devil because here we are on the Sabbath and we're, you know, it's over children. You know, of course, we're in a mixed relationship as far as our blended family, as they call it. Hers, mine, and ours kind of thing. But, you know, God still restores. God has given me a godly wife, and I chose to love rather than get bitter after the first marriage. And you have to make the decision to love. You have to trust God enough to step out and be sociable and find that love that you need. Everybody needs to be loved. Amen. That's what I love about Hungry Hearts. As I come here, everybody gives you a hug and you really feel accepted. And I love that. I need that. And everybody does. Amen. But you know, it's hard. You see, I gotta love God more than my kids. You know, they want me to go to camping this weekend. I gotta go to Sabbath. You know, it's not the right heart. The Sabbath should always be first and say, you know, if you didn't camp, you came with us, you'd have, you know, we need to really change our heart on some things. Set our priorities. Ephesians, we also need to balance our time. Amen. Seems like there isn't enough time in a day. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, please. Verse 15 and 16, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise. As God showed me, you know, some are wise and some are otherwise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Some translations say redeeming the time for the days are evil. We need to not let any time get away from us or not spend our time on distractions, things that the devil would pop up, things to keep us from focusing on Him. Amen. So we need to make every opportunity of the time. And then let's go to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs, I found out. I keep forgetting where that is. But Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. This is a cool book, too. I mean, I just love the word. It's so good. Ecclesiastes 3:1. This is talking about time, of course. Time about everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So all these things, there's a time and a season for everything. And I love, since we got into this ministry and learning of the Torah, I'm learning more and more about seasons and how to be not caught off balance by celebrating the feast and finding out what really the things you know that are in this world, how to celebrate things that are right and not distorted, not pagan. Okay, I'm learning that. We all need balance in our words. Let's go to Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. You know, when a man's silent, you consider him intelligent until he opens his mouth sometimes, you know. It's always good to be silent if you're not sure on something. But where words are many, sin is not absent, because sometimes we're off balance in our words. We talk so much, we get into gossip and things like that. We should never say anything about anybody that we can't say with them standing or sitting right next to us. And if it's something, you just ask yourself that question. Could I say this if that person were sitting right next to me right now? And if the answer is no, then don't say it. And that's what's helped me. I used to be guilty because I like to talk. But anyway, there's another scripture in Proverbs 21. There's a lot of scriptures about the tongue because it's so important, our words. Amen? Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. So it's good to really think before you speak, amen? Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to speak. I remember that scripture also. I'm not sure where that is. It's probably also in Proverbs. James 1:26. James is all about the tongue. Let's turn there. James 1:26. If we could control our tongue, we'd be so much better off. James 1. Going back too far. Okay. James 1:26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Man. So that shows you the importance of words. And so if you consider yourself religious, hopefully we're not religious where we have a relationship, but if a man does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. Sometimes I have a relative who talks, he's always telling lies, but he's told them so long that he believes every one of them. And he's in that delusion now because he's lied so long. I guess he's just manufacturing his own way of guarding his feelings or whatever, or it's an escapism. He has told lies so long that it's just poor. I pray for him all the time. We must be balancing our emotions. Proverbs 17. Back to Proverbs. I'm sorry, I've got you going back and forth here. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. So we need to keep our emotions under self-control. Amen? Verse 28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Like I was saying earlier, a man is, you think of a man being smart if he doesn't say much. My grandfather never said much. He was smart. And when he spoke, it was always something that we needed to hear because he didn't repeat it. And And we always remember what he said when we knew that look, you know, when he told us. He only had to tell us one time. It'd be good if God could tell us one time and we'd be obedient, amen? But he did tell us in the Torah how to live, how the standards of living. But we can't go by feelings. We have to go by faith, amen? There's a quote by Charles Kingsley. Feelings are like chemicals. The more you analyze them, the worse they smell. I thought that was pretty good. So in order to get a right image of ourselves, we need a right image of our Savior. Amen? He's not like any human father, but we are to, like I say, honor our fathers and mothers. And so I thank God that He gives us an image of Himself, tells us how to live in the Torah, and that we can be made into that image. And we can be made perfect, and He can form us by His Word. So I thank God for that. Amen. And that ends it. I was going to end with the paper, but I wanted to start with this You Can Praise Him paper because it was so good. I got excited when I was reading it. I love the Lord, and when I find something that lifts Him up, I just get excited. And I thank God for all that He gives us, that He imparts to us, and may we always hold those things in our heart that are precious. And I thank God that we can have a good self-image because He created us. Amen? That's it. Thank you.